Just a quick warning that we're going to be talking a lot about death and dying and rebirth and cycles and existential crises and just questioning whether this all has meaning or if it's all a big nothing. So if you're not in the right headspace for that, just maybe skip these next few episodes.
Welcome back to another episode of A Hopeless Endeavor. We are a Joanna Newsom Miracle Podcast. My name is Sam.
My name is Nikki. And welcome to part 4 of Make Hey Baby the Last Part. It goes quickly because there's just a very similar theme, I think, throughout a bunch of the verses. And so we plow through. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you guys enjoy this the last conversation of lyrics on diverse adjacent material. Thanks for being here.
We are dotting our I's and crossing our teasels and our leading sleds on this album. Enjoy.
Of reading the next verse to you then.
Okay, so did we include "So How Was I to Know"?
I think
at the end there,
I only included it after I didn't include it initially, but I did mention it later.
Okay, so yeah, you mentioned the bookmark. So we started with "And How Was I to Know," and we ended with "So How Was I to Know,"
right?
Which is kind of its own little phrase after that big paragraph, but. The next one's a little shorter, and she sings, "How was I to know, while the tune hums and the hand strikes the gong, and all of us plow our row, and the notes run out of measure and out of time and landing wrong?" ?
Yeah, very interesting.
I went down a weird gong rabbit hole last night that honestly didn't really grow much fruit, but it was interesting.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear about, unless you don't want to share gong information.
I don't really have other than gongs themselves are fascinating. There's so many different types. It was late. And I was like, you know what? Let's learn a little bit.
Such a relatable experience. I'm just like, there's, I just know some gongs. Stuff about gongs now.
There's sculptural gongs.
Wow.
Tiger gongs and posse gongs and opera gongs. There's nipple gongs.
Oh, okay. So a gong, just to refresh my memory, is one of those, not quite drums, but instruments that is sort of suspended in a square frame and you hit it somehow, or maybe the wind hits it or something.
It can be suspended. Yeah, okay. It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
It's a percussion instrument originating in, this is just Wikipedia, East Asia and Southeast Asia. Gongs are a flat, circular metal disc that is typically struck with a mallet. They can be small or large inside and tuned, or can require tuning.
Right.
So... gongs, I was like, maybe, because I think my general impression with this verse was okay, we're talking about time, right? So if you're plowing, we're talking about time. So we're talking about plowing our row, menial tasks while time is passing. The hand strikes the gong. The first thing I thought of was a dinner bell. So time is passing. We're humming a tune. That's something that keeps us busy while we're doing these menial tasks. So a gong can be used as a time signal, an alarm, a signifier of some sort. One line that I really liked was, it's used in an orchestra to intensify the impression of fear and horror in melodramatic scenes. So throwing a little bit of fear and horror into this verse, I think, is really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I was also reading that it can be used to summon ghosts. Did you find that, or is that just me? Or demons, ghosts and demons.
Interesting.
Yeah. But like you said, though, there's like this variety, there's all sorts of things you can do with the gong. You can also, there's like a, not mythology, what am I trying to say? But like some people think that gongs bring good luck. And so touching a gong brings you good luck. Mm. It also seems to me is like, I think like marking the end of something.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Which yep. life, you know, marking the end of life.
Or the beginning.
Right. Like, or the beginning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Very on theme with mm-hmm. how it could be both of those things in this circular sort of way.
Yes. So used in boxing, used as a dinner gong and a railway crossing.
Mm.
Shipping.
In shipping. Okay. All right.
In a theater as a time signal. And then obviously in like all of the musical and orchestral aspects.
Right. It is right in line with the performance scene that we talked about from the last verse. Like there is a tune humming along. There's someone playing an instrument. Like, so while it has that double meaning, maybe like that it is in theme with the performance, but also has this very time laden meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And also, Sam, we have a floating hand again.
What?
The hand strikes the gong. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We okay. talked a lot about floating okay. hands in Sapokonikin.
We sure did.
With mm-hmm. Michael Hicks. And I had not remembered that there was the hand that strikes the gong. And so whose hand? The hand of God again?
I would think so.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe the hand of the maker of music, maybe. And especially like, I don't know, we make a concerted effort to only talk about the narrator and not about Joanna herself. Mm-hmm. But just quickly for a second, talking about Joanna herself as the person who's authoring this music, like, if she's concerned about the thought, like what did I make, right? Like Joanna Newsom makes music that is like an enduring legacy of hers that is going to last long beyond her death because she makes the most insane, beautiful music ever. And so like there's this making theme in this song and that we're talking about hands that make stuff. Mm-hmm. It's also very true that like her hands make this enduring musical legacy, I think. And so I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just is in theme with like the making. It's in theme with the hand of God stuff. So again, both a macro and microcosm happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. One really cool thing that I love that I like, I'm surprised that I can hear it, is that the way that she sings and the notes run out of measure and out of time and landing wrong is like, I don't know how to say it, but like it happens. All the notes happen at a different time than you would expect them to happen in the way that she sings it. And so I think that the very right. notes themselves as she's singing them are running out of measure and out of time and that they're landing wrong, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel that about the whole song, though. Like the whole song, I think we said this before, just kind of feels like weird and I don't know, different, offbeat a little bit.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit different, especially with the so longs at the beginning. Like it just throws us off.
Mm-hmm.
For me in a good way, for Sam maybe not.
maybe not yet.
Okay, growth mindset.
Growth mindset.
Someone on Genius says the image of plowing evokes the grooves of a record, while the notes running out of measure calls to mind mechanical breakdown. I thought that was maybe interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else on Genius about the landing wrong part has made the reference to it, all the planes that are landing wrong on divers. And so it might be like mm-hmm. sort of a play on that.
Yeah. John Perry Mitchell,
poor Françoise de Meurière,
mm-hmm.
or whoever the flight attendant might be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think my impression of this verse, having talked about it a little bit more now, is just kind of like a nod to that lack of control of time again. So maybe this idea that you do your daily tasks and you're focused on those, and in doing those, you just kind of lose track of time.
Yeah.
Like you're humming, you're plowing, the hand is striking the gong and striking the gong and striking the gong. And then you look up and you realize that, like, hold on, all of a sudden we're out of measure and out of time. And this is not where I thought I was going to land.
Right. Yeah.
It's very unsettling.
Yes, man. That's such a good word for it. It's very unsettling for sure. Yes. Yeah. I love that impression of it. Like, we're all just going along, doing our business, plowing our rows. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, what the fuck? Wait, my friend died. And also, like, I'm going to die and need to grapple with what my role is in the universe. Like, what?
Yeah, that a death is what snaps you out of that routine.
Yeah.
And then everything would seem really wonky and wrong and bad.
Yeah.
Right. It would seem like, oh, shit, I'm out of time. And yeah. The things that I've measured it as important are wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not where I wanted to be. And oh God, it's all happening at once.
Yeah. It's all happening. Yeah. And like, you know that feeling when something awful happens to you and then like you try to like you deal with it and then you try to go back to life as it was and you're like, wait, none of this, like the like food doesn't taste the same and like little things like, you know, like taking care of myself every day just like feels different. Like it lands wrong. It like I feel like that sort of experience can be very distressing and disconcerting and like very much prompt someone to have sort of like whether it be like an existential crisis or just like a bout of depression or just like very much a time in their lives where they have to question like, what am I doing here? And like, how am I ever going to get back to normal if that exists, and like, do I even want to get back to normal?
Yeah What is normal?
Right. The plowing our row makes me think a little bit of a grave too, that we're all just like digging our own graves. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know.
Yeah, why the spelling of plough too versus plow?
Don't know. Good question. I think that the constellation Ursa Major is also called the plow, and I think it's spelled and I think it's spelled plough. Yeah, it is. So I don't know if it's a reference to the constellation. I don't know if it's anything.
The definition I have here is architectural land that is plowed.
The definition of plow?
plougHed, but I think it's just a synonym to plow, so I think it's fine. It's just an alternative spell. Yeah. To make furrows, to form wrinkles or creases in.
Ooh.
To plow.
Oh. Yeah, so we're plowing our row in getting the dirt ready to keep doing this cyclical thing of harvesting and planting and trying to keep ourselves alive, but like, yeah, getting lost in the monotony of that is sort of dangerous because then your life just passes you by and then your friend dies and you're like, wait, sorry, what? When did that happen? I didn't realize I had to pay attention. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it's really easy to get lost in that monotonous, repetitive routine, right? And it would take something pretty big to snap you out of that. It's comfortable, probably, right? Like, even if it's hard,
you know
what to do.
Yeah. It's much more comfortable to not be questioning your place in the universe every 5 minutes. And in fact, like, you can't get shit done if you're doing that.
Yeah. It would be a lot harder to plow your row when you're thinking about such big things.
All right. So should we go to the next verse?
Okay.
I think so. The next verse is just while the day is long, but not so long. But should I keep going to the end of the one that follows?
You can.
Okay.
Sure.
So she sings, While the day is long, but not so long, my old friend died alone, save for the friends and family she had known surrounding her bed, none of whom in that room could with certainty have said, I've dotted my I's, crossed the teasels in my leaning sled, where buzzards make circles and tillers make hay, in windrow and bale, with tedder and rake, where Adam made ribs and cattle made steak, and the rattling nib writes, what did I make? Wow, Joanna. Wow, wow, wow. Look at you go.
Yeah. I love the rattling nib.
Dude.
Such a good one.
Me too. What is the definition of nib?
It was like a pen.
Me too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So like now we're writing down our thoughts. I also love where Adam made ribs and cattle make steak.
Yes.
So
me
good.
Too. The pointed nib, the pointed end part of a pen which distributes the ink on the writing surface. Right. So the rattling nib. It's like that. It gives the impression of like a hand shaking, right? Like mm-hmm. being nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. Nervous and like, I don't know, desperate.
Totally
almost.
Desperate. Yeah, exactly. Especially given that it's writing. Actually, it's funny that. Okay, hang on. I have a thought about agency here. But okay, so exactly that, like it's writing. What did I make? Like mm-hmm. it's a very nervous, not calm sort of writing that's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this thought about agency is one that Michael Hicks points out in his articles, again, linked in the show notes. But I love it, obviously, because I am obsessed with people not having as much control over themselves as we think that they do. But in this case, like Michael's point was like the way that they're describing the way that Joanna describes what making is, it starts in a verse that we've already read where buzzards make circles and tillers make hay. And then where wind made the dust and sin made the snake and mama made us, but what did I make? And then here we have, of course, tillers make hay, Adam made ribs, cattle make steak. And so Michael points out like, these are different uses of the word make. Like mm-hmm. cattle making steak is not the same sort of thing as like
it's a lull.
Yeah. As mama making us or mm-hmm. like Adam made ribs. Like he mm-hmm. you know, woman was formed from Adam's ribs. And so like it's just it takes away the control that you initially get the impression. So like when someone says I made something or like, you know, somebody made something, it like very much makes it seem like it's something that they had control over. You know, it's a mm-hmm. it's a thing that requires agency to make something. But I think the narrator of the song is like grappling with that notion of like what we have control over. And we get these images of people who are making things who have less and less control and agency over the product of what they're making.
Yeah. Yep, there's not a cattle that exists that is like, oh boy, I really hope I can make steak today.
No.
Or is raised, like passes the day and is like, here we go, I'm making steak. Like
poor
I'm growing
cows.
Up.
Oh yeah. No. Oh, poor baby.
Yeah, there's no agency there.
No, there certainly is not. Right. Okay.
Is there with Adam, like, is the story, I forget, we haven't talked about Adam and Eve, I feel like, since 81, so it's been a little bit.
I think we talked about them in the last recording.
Oh, shit. Okay. But is it that God says, Adam, you need to have a buddy, make Eve, or is Adam like, I'm lonely?
No, I think
I
that God makes woman out of Adam's rib.
Okay,
I'm
so again,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So it's not Adam doing it. Like it's Adam's yeah. ribs being used for it, but it's not mm-hmm. Adam doing the making.
Mm-hmm.
Although, wait, it the line here isn't Adam made woman. It's Adam made ribs, which is so fucking funny. It's like the yeah. thought that like his little embryo Adam made his own ribs by like
and
duplicating.
And that there's any ounce of control
right.
with that
exactly.
Yeah, the little embryo parts are like, okay
dude, it's
here we go.
It's so funny, like this is such a funny little pun.
Mm-hmm.
Where Adam made ribs.
Okay. I love, well, the day is long, but not so long.
But not so long.
I was like, oh.
Exactly. Don't forget we're gonna but it's that same contrast that we were talking about with like the king and the queen being all busy doing their shit. And so like, you know, after a long day of work, it feels like, holy shit, like morning feels like a week ago. Like the day is long, but then there's that reminder, like, nope, not so long. Like death is looming. And so yeah, there's that nice contrast that I fucking love.
Yeah.
And you know what else I love? She's feeling playful in this verse. I like that. It's like a play. It's like a dark humor being playful with absolutely morbid shit.
Yeah.
Being playful while she's like very much not okay. And so I love the contrast of like my old friend died alone, except for that she had everybody around her. Like that's such a, I mean, to me, very much a existential conflict, right? Like you are born alone and you die alone, and it doesn't matter how many people are around you. Like it's a very personal experience, right? No one is doing the dying with you. And so I don't know, it's a very lonely way of thinking about it, I think.
It is. And I love the nod to none of whom in that room could have said.
Yeah.
And I think I take the rest of the verse to be like that I've done it all. That like I've dotted my I's and crossed the teasels in my leaning sled. I think I take the, so there's in quotations from I've dotted my I's to when cattle make steak to be like I've checked every box.
Right.
I've satisfied every want. I've met every need. So people are gathering around her friend who has died, and none of them, maybe all of them are reflecting on like, these are the things I haven't done. The day is not so long.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's exactly it. Like that it could have happened to any of us. Like any of us could be there dying on that bed, and like none of you in this room would have been like cool with that. Like you wouldn't be done your existence, but this person is like thrust into being done with existence. Like she was forced to cross her T's and dot her I's. And like, there's like not an anger, but there's a sort of like call to wake up in pointing that out. None of whom in that room could have said, it's a call to attention that like, none of us are ready for this shit. None of us are ready for death when it comes.
Yeah.
But it's just so sad. It's so fucking sad. My old friend died alone. Like, oh, Joanna, you're getting so dark. I love it. Mm-hmm. But also, man, it's a lot. And it's also like the music gets sort of soft here too, like tinkly and.
Yeah.
Do you know what windrow is?
No, I was just going to Google it. I didn't get to this verse in my defining. Do you know what windrow is?
I do have my computer right in front of me here, and I just as I was saying that, Google it. So it is a long line of raked hay or sheaves of grain laid out to dry in the wind. So it's just this like technical definition, I guess, of hay. That is essentially all I can find for it.
And tillers make hay in winter. So it's the way that tillers organize the hay.
Yes, like literally make hay. Yeah, exactly.
And tillers make hay in windrow and bale. Oh, so we've talked about, where are you going? I wonder if you have the same idea.
The line contrasted with the circle?
Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
That is very cool.
So time as a flat line, experienced as a flat line or as a circle. That's fun.
That is so fun. In winter and bale. Oh, look at that. It's the contrast. We've talked about
look
it.
Look at that. That. We got there.
That makes me feel happy, actually. But
we did nothing else.
Yeah, that makes me feel like we discovered a thing.
Connection.
Wow. Okay, there we go. And then, Sam, what's tedder? T-E-D-D-E-R.
Oh, I can tell you. It's a machine that spreads newly mown hay for drying.
New mown hay. Okay.
So like taking like the fresh green hay.
Okay.
Nod to monkey and bear. and lets it dry, I guess, so the cattle can eat it later. Ooh, you can be one that teds. Okay. A machine for stirring and spreading hay to hasten drying and curing.
Okay. What's curing mean again?
Curing is like, I can preserving, just think of like curing meat.
Yeah. I think it's preserving.
A process or method of curing to restore health to, no, not like that. To undergo a curing process. The hay is curing in the sun.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? It dries it out? It makes it so it can't rot?
Yeah, I think so. To preserve it. Yeah, so there's this like, so sorry, the tedder is the thing that spreads it out so that the hay can be preserved, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So again, tedder and rake. Yeah, so these two tools that she's noting. Tedder and rake.
So there's a machine that does it, or this, so I guess it's like machine versus the hand, right?
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
I'm guessing.
Yes.
Rake.
This mechanical versus hands doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look at Joanna knowing the words to use when we're talking about the technical processes for making hay. Of course she does.
Yeah.
I expect no less. Well, of course. Okay. Also, the last line of this verse is in parentheses. So
yes,
the parentheses start at, and the rattling nib writes, what did I make? Close parentheses.
What about this one? I don't know. I've dotted my I's, crossed the teasels in my leaning sled. Did we already talk about this?
Yes. So this what same phrasing. Say? Well, what did we say? We said like
something. I said, play on words. That's my note.
I mean, your notes are not wrong. It is definitely a play on words. Yeah. So we said that, like, obviously it's a nod to like dotting your I's and crossing your T's and trying to like, you know, make the finishing touches on life. But then we also talked about how like the leaning, because before she used the term leaning dray, I think, and now she's using the term leaning sled. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cross the teasels and her leaning dray was the first one. And now it's cross the teasels and her leaning sled.
Is that just to rhyme with said? What's that?
Sled rhymes with what? Oh, yeah.
Said?
Yeah, said. Yeah, I think that's probably right. Right. Okay. So we were talking about sleds as being like the load that you have to carry through life. Or alternatively, like the sled that carries her, like the dead body of the friend. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we talked about the wheels getting stuck in the mud.
Yes, exactly. And then there's another like circular / straight line thing, because the wheels would make straight lines in the mud, but they're wheels. And then we also talked about teasels being like thistle, and that their cross sort of sounds like a cross, like someone making a cross with something. Do you know what I mean? Like a cross with the plants.
Oh, and that it was also the thing that teasels are used in what, like cotton processing or wool processing?
Oh yeah, well, yeah, totally.
Okay, anything else about this verse here? My old friend died alone too. What did I make?
Not for me.
I like the rhyming of none of whom in that room.
Yeah, me too.
Makes me think of Goodnight Moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Then she sings. And it's a short one this time. And how was I to know, seeing my seconds pass in a line, if there was a way to reckon love, except as a symptom of time? Question mark.
Yeah.
So here we have the most clear connection to the rest of Divers, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very straightforward.
So it's sort of this, it's this acknowledgement then that she had been wrong, right? Because she's like, I didn't even realize that there was an alternative. I just thought that love was a symptom of time, that if we live long enough, we're just like bound to fall in love with someone. I didn't even know that there was an alternative way of thinking about it, which of course we get in Time as a Symptom. But I am interested here in the fact that she, like, I don't know what kind of, like, epistemic position our narrator is in here. Like, I don't know how is she singing this to us now? Like, how does she now know that there is a way to reckon love except as a symptom of time? She seems to, like, have more information, right?
I don't know, because it seems like she's questioning it too. And how was I to know? Seeing my seconds passed in a line, like we're cognizant of the fact that time is passing.
Yeah.
But then it's also if there was a way to reckon love except as a symptom of time. So I think we're just beginning, like, okay, maybe there's another option, but I'm not quite sure of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think that she's, like, coming down on the, like, I don't think she's, like, in this verse saying, like, the true interpretation is that time is a symptom of love. But mm-hmm. it's just this, like, oh, it's like this question, this acknowledgement that, like, oh, maybe her present self doesn't know everything, but it's again this call to be, like, excused for that, right? Like, how was I to know? Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. like all I had access to is my seconds passing in a line, and like all, like, my perspective was really limited. How was I to know whether this was a possibility, whether there was a way to reckon love except as a symptom of time?
Reckon is such a good word.
And in this context, so, what it just means to, like, think of love except as a symptom?
I guess so. Reckon to me, whenever I've heard it, like, the context has been like, I have to reckon with that. Like, it's something you have to kind of work against and figure yes. out and solve, like, a problem. If there was a way to reckon love except as a symptom of time. I was wondering briefly, like, okay, there's this YouTube video that lovely Basha sent to us. We talked about this in the last episode. I think that it places Make Hay in the album between Leaving the City and Goose Eggs.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just thinking, like, okay, where is our narrator's brain within the album?
Right.
So Time is a Symptom ends our album. So if that's where Make Hay might have been placed, this is, like, a nice little mid-album nod
to
the conclusion.
Yes.
I love that perspective. Seeing my seconds pass in a line that, like, within a box thinking, I thought it was this one thing, but actually it's probably not.
Yeah,
it could be
yeah.
any of these other things.
Exactly. And this, that she, like, now is looking back on, like, her perspective at some point in her life and saying, like, look, I just, like, you can't blame me for not knowing this then, makes me think mm-hmm. that, like, she had some experience now that made her at least acknowledge that there's a different possibility. And I don't know if that's, like, her friend dying or if it's something, like, a lot more science fiction-y where, like, maybe, like, there was a couple songs on the album. I don't really remember now the details, but, like, I remember thinking this of songs before that, like, our narrator seems to know a lot more than, like, she should given her limited perspective. And so, like, how did she find this stuff out? I feel like that in Divers, and I feel like that with Waltz mm-hmm. of the 101st Lightborn, at least are two mm-hmm. of those examples where it just seems like our narrator knows more than she should. And here I get that impression too, like, what happened to make you now see that there is an alternative way of reckoning with love? And it, mm-hmm. it, I can't help but be, like, sort of pulled toward this, like, sort of sci-fi-y idea where, like, maybe all of our narrators, or at least this one, like, either has died and has this perspective because she's now looking back on her life, or has, like, lived through the cycle of Divers and has seen, like, how time as a symptom goes, or, like, something. I'm not exactly mm-hmm. sure, but I don't know.
It's just, yeah, I mean, I think in this song, it's her friend's death.
Yeah.
That's the trigger there, yeah. right? But yeah, in the greater themes of the album, how does she know? How does she know all this stuff? It's a great question.
We also get the possessiveness over time in the my seconds. It's not just like seeing, you know, seconds pass in a line. They're my seconds.
Seeing my seconds. It's such an interesting way to view the passing of time, right? Like, I imagine like little ants as seconds, I guess, just because they're small, like passing by you. And it's such like a passive expression of time.
Yes, right? Very much. Yes. It's, remember how we, like, I don't remember for what song, probably Time of the Symptom. We talked about like the two conceptions of time where some people see it as like standing on a riverbank and seeing time pass. And that's sort of what this description here calls to mind. And then some people see you like in the boat going through, like, you know, in the boat going with the river and passing through time. But yeah, this very much strikes me as the first interpretation, like you standing there and like the seconds are just passing you and you're just sort of watching them being like, I don't, I'm not an active participant in this. It's just sort of happening to me.
Yeah.
Also, there's the mention of line. That's about all I have for this verse. It's a short and sweet one, but
it is. Yeah.
More straightforward than kings and queens of radios and rodeos.
As far as we can tell, anyway. Yeah,
as far as we can tell.
Okay. Do you want to read the next one here?
All right. So then she writes and sings. And honey, it stretched out below us, humming every note from the lowest to the highest. But even at the highest, we were bored and amazed, in a chord, in a daze, all before our time. It was before our time. Okay, this verse makes me want to be like, Sam, love this song because of this verse. It's so fucking compelling, I think. Maybe
it is a beautiful verse, and I love that we have like the very sweet honey, like I don't know, what is it stretched out below us? Why is it below us?
I don't know. And what is it? Is it time?
I'm assuming.
Okay. And honey, it's stretched out below us. Stretched out makes it seem like it lasted, like it felt like it lasted longer than it did or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know why it's below.
Or again, a perspective thing that like if you're above that line of time, that it is, you're like, oh, it actually was a long life.
Yeah.
I actually did do a lot. I was bored and amazed.
It stretched out below us, humming every note. So time is humming every note? Maybe.
From the lowest to the highest. I don't know, the full spectrum of life, like all of those emotions, the good and the bad and the awful and the bored and the fine. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like the lowest note and the highest note, but also the lowest and the highest like moments of life. But the part that I am so compelled by in this verse is just like that even at the highest, we were bored and amazed. So this like, again, this like contrast of these seemingly binary things, right? Like it seems like, I don't know, there's just something that rings so true about that. Like even there's like such truth in the idea that like the highest points, the best life ever gets is in some respects boring. Like if you're approaching it from a certain point of view or like state of mind or something, right? That like it just is underwhelming sometimes, even at its best. But at the same time, it's also like completely enthralling and engaging and amazing, and like both of those things are true of the highest and lowest points of life. I don't know, I fucking love that so much.
It is, it's really beautiful. In a chord, in a daze. I love that we're describing just kind of like moving through life in a daze all before our time. It was before our time. Is that just referring to the death? Like,
I don't know. The in accord to, I am curious about like the in accord, just like in accord, just means like in agreement or like in sort of line with each other. I think it's with each other at least. But then mm-hmm. also it makes me think that because there's this musical theme to this song, there's like a meta musical theme to this song, that like in a chord makes me think of like a musical chord. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's anything though.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say just because like, I don't know. It's just, it's straightforward. The rhyming is amazing. We're bored and amazed mm-hmm. and a chord and a daze out. Yes, please. Mm-hmm. All before our time. It was before our time. It's like this person ruminating on that fact. Like that is repeated yeah. so much throughout the song.
Yep.
It was before our
time. Yeah. And I think that's what's tricky about this song too, is that like we are kind of grappling with a similar idea throughout the entire song. Yeah. And we're just kind of looking at it from different perspectives. Like the problem is that you don't know when you're going to die. And it's a hard perspective to have, because then how do you live life to its fullest? Yeah. And we're just thinking about that from so many different perspectives and awarenesses. Yeah.
And just like that, I don't know what to say about that repetition. It just, yeah, like you said, there's a whole bunch of different perspectives. It's sort of the same question, the sort of the same theme coming up, but there's a tinge of darkness, I think, that gets added, that she can't like let it go. Like it's like she's so yeah. clinging to the idea of our time, and like mm-hmm. it just gives the impression of someone who can't accept the way that time or life actually is, and she's clinging to this false perspective that she had or has or something like that.
Yeah. And did we say that it's like maybe our time, the time of her and her friend, that like, I don't know, we must have said this, that like maybe our time refers to like the time you thought you had right, with that friend.
Right.
And like her and her friend, they were bored and amazed. They had highs and lows, but then whammo, death. Wow. And now we're left reeling from that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I can also see maybe a case to be made that like, I don't know, all before our time, it was before our time, refers to like, I don't know, like the like laws of the universe are all set in, like mm-hmm. all the way that all of this is gonna fucking go is just like, I had nothing to do with these decisions. It was all before our time. This was all like preordained, and like going with the theme of determinism that Michael Hicks had pointed out, because of the lack of agency and what a lot of these subjects are making throughout the song. There's just mm-hmm. like this lack of agency. Like it was before our time. We had nothing to do with setting this stuff in motion. Like it's just the way things are. And it's always been that way. It's this isn't like unique to us almost, you know, it was all mm-hmm. before our time, and
it will continue to yes, be after our
yes,
time. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Should we go to the last verse? We're plowing through.
Yeah, and we just repeat.
And we just repeat.
Right? Yeah. So how was I to know? 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 Questions
about
we don't have an answer to.
Yeah.
And she doesn't either, right? Because I don't think you could have known. There is no way to know. It just is, which is wholly unsatisfying. But then she continues. While the day slows and the sun stares, stalling into the dimming barrel of night, where the stars are falling? I've got no say, but still, I'm calling for my old friend. We sow and we reap again.
Ugh,
such Cosmia vibes.
Yeah,
for this one.
Yeah, definitely. It's so fucking sad. Like she's comparing the fucking like. What is it, the sun or the sky? As the sun stares into the dimming barrel of night. So like the night is mm-hmm. a gun and mm-hmm. the sun's like staring into it, stalling, because it just, oh my God, it's like the image of like the sun also not wanting to die. The sun also just wanting like a little bit more time here on earth. But mm-hmm. the night is going to take the sun's life. And
yeah, I've got no say.
I've got no say. And it that goes very much in theme with a bunch of times throughout this album where we've seen one day symbolizing like one life. And so like dawn representing birth and then night representing death. Mm-hmm. And just the image of the sun just wanting a little bit more life while the night threatens to kill it is just so fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And then we have the stars falling, like shooting stars are just more imagery of falling in sort of a different direction, not towards Earth, but just around and around, like continuous falling as it orbits the Earth. I don't know if that's
it's so like I'm looking at the Cosmia lyrics now and they're so beautifully linked, right? Like the moonlight caught your eye and you rose through the air. If you've seen true light, then this is my prayer. And then the heartbreaking, will you call me when you get there?
Yeah, yes, I'm like, calling for my old friend.
Yeah, yeah, and release your precious heart. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's that letting go, but also that remembering.
Yeah.
And then the repeating, the recognition that like, okay, the cycle continues.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. The cycle continues. Like all we can do is sow and reap over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like that's sort of what I love about the ending of this song is that it's so fucking unsatisfying. It's just like there are all these questions and like what are we to do with them other than like do what we need to do to survive, because like we need to keep going if we're gonna live. But like these questions are gonna haunt us because there's no fucking answer. Like it's so mm-hmm. sad, but that's also what living feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Living feels so monotonous. We have to do this Sisyphean shit over and over again, and like that's all, that's it, that's the answer. Just mm-hmm. put your head down and work.
I love the recognition of like a hands up, I've got no say.
Yeah, me too.
But it's still important to me to call for my old friend. Yeah. Like it's so heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
I recognize that I have no control here. Yeah. But I'm still allowed to miss what's gone.
Yeah, totally. And like you can still perform actions like calling for your old friend, even though mm-hmm. you know that they're completely hopeless. Like there's no point. There's your friend is not going to answer, but like you need you have to express yourself. You have to emote.
Yeah. And it's you know, we talked about earlier. What was the line I'm thinking of? That we won't be remembered. We were adored and erased.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the very personal level, it's not erased. Maybe by the hands of history, you know, this friend will not be remembered. But I think it's okay to, I think this is a recognition of it's okay to still remember them, to call for them, to hold them dear.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Ugh, it's sad. I love it. It's very just somber.
It is. And I think that's just the deal.
That's just the deal. That is just the deal with both life and make hay. That's just the deal. That's what we get.
I do find it very satisfying, the release at the end, though. The I've got no say, we sow and reap again, to me is a very satisfying ending, even though it's tragic and awful. That like kind of the letting go of, I don't know, the letting go of control.
Yeah, of needing to control. And like we've talked about how like that is such a theme. Like our time gives that notion of like wanting to control it and wanting to cling to things. And yeah, so there is this sort of recognition that like, okay, maybe I can't control any of this shit. So like, yeah, I don't know. I've got no say. And like that's where we're at. That's what we need to grapple with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Good job us.
Good job us.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. That was a ride. Wow.
I know. It was a ride. It's like a heavy, intense ride. I know. There's like a lot happening with this song. Yep.
Okay. So that was the final part of Make Hay.
Thanks for
I don't
being
know what
here.
To say thank you thanks for being here. Thank you for listening to this entire year-long plus venture into divers. it's kind of hard to let go.
Oh my God, it's extremely hard to let go. We've got no say, Sam. We've got to let go.
We've got no say. We've got no say. Look down on our little ants of time.
Oh. Yeah, but it's okay. We're going to come back for the Divers album art and possibly an underview of Divers. We'll see how it goes. But it's hard to let go. It's very sad. This was our last lyrical endeavor with the like Divers adjacent material, and I don't want it to be over.
If you want to talk more about this with us, a great way to do that would be to email us at ahopelessendeavor@gmail.com. If you go to our Instagram, which is A Hopeless Endeavor Podcast, you can also click the link there and leave us a voice memo. We would love, I would love to hear some of your thoughts about the end of Divers. How do you feel?
Yeah.
How do you feel listening to these episodes?
Yeah. Overarching thoughts, like thoughts about it as a whole. Like, we're curious. Just help us out.
Yeah. At the end of this journey and the beginning of another, how do you feel? If you have thoughts about like the Milk-Eyed Mender or Divers album art, we'd love to hear about that.
So, ahopelessendeavor@gmail.com is our email. You can send those thoughts there. Like Sam said, you can go to the Instagram, you can go to the Facebook. Patreon is linked in the show notes. There you can find early episode releases as well as some bonus content. Sam and I played some Dread and some Jeopardy that you should definitely join us on and share your scores. That was so much fun.
Which we'll do again,
I think, right? So. Yeah, I think so too. David sometime just has to like make it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sometime in the future. No rush.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Thank you guys for being here. We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.